His voice faded, and he touched the scars on his neck. She tried to get back into the house to save the girls, but she couldn't. Them night men was all over her, and she threw me, just threw me like I was a ball, hard as she could, trying to get me away from them. Then she fought, fought like a wild thing right side my daddy. They was both of them from breeded stock, and they were strong like bulls.
Breeded stock? I said, what's that?
Cassie, don't interrupt Mr. Morrison, said Mama. But Mr. Morrison turned from the fire and explained. Well, Cassie, during slavery, there were some farms that mated folks like animals to produce more slaves. Breeding slaves brought a lot of money for them slave owners, especially after the government said they couldn't bring no more slaves from Africa. And they produced all kinds of slaves to sell on the block. And folks with enough money, white men and even free black men, could buy exactly what they wanted. My folks was bred for strength, like they folks, and they grand folks for them. Didn't matter none what they thought about the idea. Didn't nobody care. But my mama and daddy, they loved each other, and they loved us children. And that Christmas, they fought them demons out of hell like avenging angels of the Lord. He turned back toward the fire and grew very quiet. Then he raised his head and looked at us. They died that night. Them night men killed them. Some folks tell me I can't remember what happened that Christmas. I weren't hardly 6 years old, but I remembers all right. I makes myself remember. He grew silent again, and no one spoke. Big Ma poked absently at the red-eyed logs with the poker, but no one else stirred. Finally, Mr. Morrison stood, wished us a good night, and left. Uncle Hammer stood also.
Guess I'll turn in, too. It's near 1 o'clock.
Wait a while, Hammer, said Big Ma. Now you and David both home, I gotta talk to y'all about the land. Visions of nightmen and fire mixed in a cauldron of fear awakened me long before dawn. Automatically, I rolled toward the comforting presence of Big Ma, but she wasn't beside me. A soft light still crept under the door from Mama and Papa's room, and I immediately hurried toward it. As I opened the door and stepped into the shadowy room, lit now only by the flickering yellow of the low fire, Big Ma was saying, y'all start messing with these folks down in here, no telling what'll happen.
Is it better to just sit back and complain about how they do us?
Mama snapped, her voice rising. Everybody from Smellings Creek to Strawberry knows it was them. But what do we do about it? We line their pockets with our few pennies and send our children up to their store to learn things they got no business learning. The older children are drinking regularly there now, even though they don't have any money to pay, and the Wallaces are simply adding the liquor charges to the family bill. Just more money for them as they ruin our young people. As I see it, the least we can do is stop shopping there. It may not be real justice, but it'll hurt them, and we'll have done something. Mr. Turner and the Averys and the Laniers and over 2 dozen other families, and perhaps even more, say they'll think about not shopping there if they can get credit somewhere else. We owe it to the Berries.
Frankly, interrupted Uncle Hammer, I'd rather burn them out myself.
Hammer, you go to burning, and we'll have nothing, Mama said.
Ain't gonna have nothing, no way, replied Uncle Hammer.
You think by shopping up at Vicksburg, you're gonna drive them Wallaces out? Then you got no idea how things work down here. You forgetting Holland Granger backs that store?
Mary, child, Hammer's right, Big Ma said. I'm doing what I told y'all about this land, because I don't want some legal thing to come up after I'm gone that let that Harlan Granger get this place. But we go back in folks' credit with our land, we'd lose it sure. And we do that? I couldn't face Paul Edward.
I didn't say we should back it, Mama said. But we're just about the only family with any collateral at all.
Papa looked up from the fire. That may be, honey,
but we put up this land to back this thing, and it'll be just like giving it away. Times like they are, it ain't likely that any of these people can pay the bills they make as much as they might mean to. And if they can't pay, where would we be? We've got no cash money to pay other folks' debts. He shook his head. No. We'll have to find another way. Go to Vicksburg, maybe, and see what we can arrange. His eyes fell upon me in the shadows, and he leaned forward. Cassie? What is it, sugar?
Nothing, Papa, I mumbled. I just woke up, that's all.
Mama started to rise, but Papa motioned her down and got up himself. Escorting me back to bed, he said gently, got no cause for bad dreams, Cassie girl. Not tonight, anyway.
Papa, I said, snuggling under the warm quilts as he tucked them around me. We gonna lose our land?
Papa reached out and softly touched my face in the darkness. If you remember nothing in your whole life, Cassie girl, remember this. We ain't never gonna lose this land. You believe that?
Yes, sir, Papa.
Then go to sleep. Christmas is coming.
Books! Cried Little Man on Christmas morning. For Stacy, there was The Count of Monte Cristo. For me, The Three Musketeers. And for Christopher John and Little Man, two different volumes of Aesop's Fables. On the inside cover of each book, in Mama's fine hand, was written the name of the owner. Mine read, "This book is the property of Miss Cassie Deborah Logan. Christmas, 1933. Man sold me them books, told me these two was written by a black man, Papa said, opening my book and pointing to a picture of a man in a long, fancy coat and a wig full of curly hair that fell to his shoulders. Name of Alexander Dumas, a French fella. His daddy was a mulatto, and his grandmama was a slave down on one of them islands. Martinique, it says here. Man said to me they write hard reading for children, but I told him he didn't know my babies. They can't read them now, I said. They'll grow into them. In addition to the books, there was a sock full of once-a-year store-bought licorice, oranges, and bananas for each of us, and from Uncle Hammer a dress and a sweater for me, and a sweater and a pair of pants each for Christopher John and Little Man. But nothing compared to the books. Little Man, who treasured clothes above all else, carefully laid his new pants and sweater aside and dashed for a clean sheet of brown paper to make a cover for his book. And throughout the day, as he lay upon the deerskin rug, looking at the bright, shining pictures of faraway places, turning each page as if it were gold, he would suddenly squint down at his hands, glance at the page he had just turned, then dash into the kitchen to wash again, just to make sure.